never rests.
Mechanic killers in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
It's a time to be alive. That means it's Sunday night here on the Georgia Show, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am Jake Roos. He is Rusty Mansell. And we are from Dogs HQ, as you could probably tell by all of the egregious branding that I have on my shirt and everything behind Rusty. Rusty, I'm curious, man, I've got a few topics I want to hit tonight, man, but I want to know what's on your mind. One of the things I feel like we should talk about to open the show, sad news about Nick Chubb today, man. Terrible news, broke his foot for the Browns today. Just, you hate to see that for a guy, and I know you especially, as big of a Nick Chubb fan as there is out there, man.
Yeah, man. If I could show you, it's one of two jerseys that hangs in my office, and someone I've known for a long time and done a lot of work with, and he included me in a documentary they're going to release, and I was honored that he even called to ask me. So I've known him for a long time, and that sucks today. I was just thinking, I was like, you know, he didn't need a couple more weeks. He's not 100% right now. He's going to come home and train. But, you know, man, it's a tough deal. This dude's wired different. And, you know, he'll get right back to work and get going again. But, man, it just sucks, dude. This guy does everything right. He loves football. He loves University of Georgia. He just wants to be a part of a championship, you know, team. And, so don't know, but know Nick for a long time and know how he is. And, you know, he'll be down for a couple of days and then he'll figure out what's next. And he's got an entire offseason. He'll be straight home and working out with his guys at Searstown High School.
Yeah. Like I said, man, hated to see it. Our thoughts and prayers to Nick Chubb. If anybody can overcome an injury,
no doubt, man.
He's had to do it a lot, man. Rusty, want to dive in today. As the transfer portal turns, it's become the kind of quintessential thing of this season, especially with Georgia having the first round bye. I think it's what everybody's kind of got their eyes focused on. And you guys, you and Jake Rowe especially, have had this thing kind of covered wire to wire. A lot of action for Georgia. Let's run through the list real quick here of and I'm gonna share my screen for this one. Let's run through the list real quick. These are the current names in the portal for the Georgia Bulldogs. We've got Julian Humphrey, Michael Jackson, Jamal Jarrett, Troy Bowles, Sam Mpemba, Justin Rhett, and Jake Pope in there as it currently stands. A couple of those guys hopped in kind of toward the end of this week. And, you know, I hesitate to say that I'm surprised by any of these, Rusty. Jamal Jarrett, maybe a touch just because he's been getting some snaps along the way, right? He's a guy who has been a factor. Other than that, man, nobody that's really just jumped off the page to me. I do think Troy Bowles is a guy in a couple years we might be talking about, wow, you know, he's making an impact somewhere. It's Thunderdome in the Georgia linebacker room, man. It's about as hard of a room to break through as I could possibly imagine. Sam Mpemba is somebody I would like to have seen stay and continue to develop because I think the upside is high there. But again, nothing that's just earth-shattering to this point, at least in my opinion. I'm curious your thoughts on these entrants so far for the Georgia Bulldogs.
I mean, nothing really like surprises me there. Those guys are either, you know, down the depth chart and or, you know, lost their job. I mean, Julian Humphrey started 10 games and, you know, they started switching him a little bit with Daniel Harris. He got the pass interference
Tennessee
on the first drive of the Tennessee game. And literally he didn't play again. I mean, they had him in a couple plays, but it was clear.
His last play in a Georgia uniform was a PI call, and that was his last play on the field was a PI call, and he's done.
I mean, it is what it is, man, and that's what the reality is in today's world. If I'm not starting and I'm gone, and you know, people were all over him, and you know, in at corner, and he's an athletic guy. At times, he's flashed a little bit, and times that you know he's really struggled. So he's just committed to Texas A&M today, and you know, we'll see. Going back home, he almost went back to Texas A&M last year in that coaching change. If you remember,
Yep.
It was kind of weird because I got a DM from him because, hey, I want to do an interview about me coming back. And I was like, well, you better ask Georgia. And we got that cleared and we did an interview with him. But you know, so it is one of those deals. And, you know, Georgia's obviously going to other people, but Michael Jackson didn't play an ounce.
Yeah.
Troy, like you said, he's in a crazy room. Jake Pope really never made the impact, tried to. Justin Rhett never really got in there. Sam and Pimba's in a pretty deep room, and you got guys like Damon Wilson. Now you're bringing in two.
Quintavious Johnson took a step.
Quintavious Johnson was ahead of him too. So, you know, that room's pretty deep, and I get these guys are going to go play somewhere. It's like you look around the league, man. Xavier Sorey, you know, Arkansas fans, you know, he decided to come back the other day. They were going nuts. You know, these guys that couldn't get on the field really or stay in the lineup, and that's just the way it is at Georgia. It's deep, and it's hard to crack that starting lineup, but. It doesn't mean they're not good players and they can't help other people, but they're just they were probably just passed up. Jamal Jarrett's the guy that kind of surprises you. You know, battled weight injuries. He was in the what they call the morning club. Never got out of the morning club, which Jordan Davis was in and out of the morning club, which means you're running bleachers and all that. So you know, Jordan Davis had a unique ability to. They used to tell me that Jordan Davis, that dude would lose like 20 pounds and like. 3 weeks, you know, he'd get out of it. He would get out of the morning club, play well, then go right back in. And he struggled a little bit in Philly with his weight early on, but I think he's got himself right there. And he had the ability to do that. But, you know, Ja Jarrett really struggled with his weight and, you know, just never could get under control. And that kept him off the field at Georgia. Because here's the thing, Jake, Georgia plays so many teams that try to go fast paced on them. And if you can't play more than four or five plays and they catch you in there to where they can't sub out, they just don't take chances like that. And you got to be able to get your 10, 12 snaps without getting off the field and just never could really do it.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's tough. It's not for everybody. And, you know, there's more coming. I mean, that's the thing. That's what people have.
Oh, yeah.
We're a week into this thing. And I think Jake Rose said last count, it was about 99 or something was where they were on the number, and they've got to get this thing down to 85. And plus, you know, they're going to add some guys through the transfer portal. That's coming as well. So
yes.
We're a week into this thing. And Rusty, Jake and I talked about this tonight on the radio show, and I am curious as to your thoughts on it. I personally believe that there has not been a guy necessarily who has gone into the transfer portal at this point where I'm like, whoa. Like, not like a Walter Nolan, right? Not like, this is an earth shaker, right? Now, I'm not saying there aren't good players out there. I do think Eric Singleton's a very good player. I think that, you know, I think the Michael Van Buren transfer, I think that he's a real talented young quarterback and a big upside there. LSU got a player.
Yep.
There's not been a guy like Nolan or that kind of caliber. Even a Jordan Birch, right? Like, I mean, like,
so far.
Exactly.
Well, you think about last year, and it's hard to kind of measure up when Caleb Downs goes in and then Walter Nolan goes in. You're talking about two top 10 picks. And let's be honest, man, there were a lot of rumors last year, and we really weren't sure if Mikel Williams was going to go in or not. And, you know, that rumor was out there. Had Mikel Williams gone in, that would have been another first rounder, you know, and he stayed at Georgia. And, you know, thankfully so for Georgia's sake, he stayed here for this year. And it's not been that early. It's just crazy. Right. It's still early.
People think this thing's about to end, and it's not.
No, God, no. We're 14 days.
We got two full weeks of this left to go.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, this is
plus, you go 5 days past your game. So if you're a bowl team, whenever that is, you're done. So,
and my theory on this is that what we're seeing, and Fran Brown was kind of the guy that put this in my head. He said, you know, if I hear a rumor, you're thinking about going to the transfer portal, I'm going to put you in the transfer portal.
Yeah,
I'm going to make sure you find your way there. I think some of these guys are probably trying to finish things out the right way. They're trying to get through. Hey, maybe I go to my bowl game. I show off a little. That puts a little bit more cheese in my pocket too.
Well, you also know if you're a guy like Nolan, Walter Nolan from last year, it doesn't matter when you go in. You got every option. Caleb Downs had every option. So there's those things. I think Georgia fans, rightfully so, are very curious at the wide receiver position. What can they do there? There is some guys I think that can help Georgia. There's some guys that's going to be on campus this week that I think can help Georgia if they can land those guys. So, you know, that's that. I think when you start talking about the portal, you know, Georgia signed a hell of a class, five wide receivers, high school kids that are going, you know, here's the thing, man, the freshmen are playing now. So at some point, you know, those guys are going to be playing next year. Three of those five, I guarantee, will be playing next year. No doubt in my mind. I don't know all the mixture yet, but three of those five will be playing and meaningful minutes. And so you look at the defensive linemen. And last year, the big rumor was Deion Walker out of Kentucky.
Right.
And had Georgia, had he went into portal, there is no question in my mind that Georgia would have done what they probably could have done to try to get him, because that is exactly what they have been missing, is that guy. It's hard to find that human. You know what I mean? It's hard to find. That's why Deion Walker is about to be a first-round draft pick. Right. So it's going to be one of those deals where don't jump to, like, hey, he's a D-lineman, he started 10 games. Dude, this is Georgia. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be able to help Georgia. There's going to be pieces there. There's going to be people there. Don't get me wrong. But right now, I haven't seen an absolute no-brainer that Georgia just had to overspend for those types of things. I haven't seen that yet.
And that's the thing. I feel like people are antsy because they see Ole Miss is hosting this guy. Like, where are we? Why are we hosting? You know, I caution people with that, man. Do not try to keep up with the Joneses when we're talking about the transfer portal. That's a dangerous game to play, because a lot of teams – listen, do I think it's a good look for a guy like Julian Humphrey to hop in, you know, right in the middle of the championship run, or some of these other guys? No. I will say this, though. It's kind of smart to go ahead and get your name in the hat, because you might get overpaid right now, because the pool's a lot smaller than it's going to be over the course of time. Yeah. So I get it from that perspective. I do think, though, that Georgia is kind of – I get the sense that Georgia is sitting back and kind of watching this thing and saying, all right, let's just take our time. Let's see what happens. And look, there's a lot more rumors going out there than there are actual names that are sitting in this thing. We're through the back channel. This guy's thinking about it. What could we do? Like, how, you know, look, that's how the business works these days. It's an interesting one. Jason Cancel over here says, I saw Travis Shaw was considering the portal. I remember he was a big target. Still somebody UGA would want in your mind, Rusty.
Maybe look at him. You know, you kind of talk to him, you know, mentally there, and let's be honest, man. The first question is going to be, all right, guy, you know, are you looking to play and develop? Are you trying to get as much money as possible? Because that's not the route that Georgia – I do think Georgia's going to be a lot more, I would say, competitive in the transfer portal this time. I think they're going to – you know, they've got more money, obviously, I think, come with this rev share. So, but if you're all about money and you're trying to get every dime that you possibly can, this ain't the place for you. It's just not. And I think Georgia has done well with those types to say, you want to come develop, we're going to give you – you know, we're going to give you fair market. You're not going to be – you know, you're going to get comp, you're going to get paid here, but you're also, you know, there's bigger fish to fry here at Georgia. And so we'll see where things are. You know, I'll tell people, it's somewhere, some point, Georgia got the reputation of being tight. And I hate to break it to you, but you don't sign top two or three or number one recruiting classes because those hedges are pretty. I can tell you that right now. You know what I mean? So Georgia is paying as much as I don't know numbers, but I would be willing to bet as a monthly roster what Georgia is paying for their roster. They just won the SEC championship, so their roster is pretty damn good. I would say, other than Oregon and Ohio State, I would not hesitate to say Georgia in the top three or four for sure.
Yeah.
They're just not – the Oregon and Ohio State. I know Ole Miss – paid for a, you know, portal class, but I'm talking about 1 through 85. Georgia's spending a lot of money, and there's no question with that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get,
let me get a question here. It says let me say, if so, how do we lose Justice Terry?
Oh, spending. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you get to a point where you don't there's a limit. You know what I mean? Like,
Have you ever been to an auction? No, I mean,
yeah.
You know,
comes a, yeah, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. And you can write this one down. There will never be a freshman. There will never be a freshman ever, as long as Kirby Smart's the head coach, that will be the highest paid player on the team, period. It ain't going to happen.
Sure.
You know who the highest paid players on the team? They're Michael Williams. They're Malachi Starks. Those guys and first team and Tate Ratledge guys and even Carson Beck, your starting quarterback. And, you know, those guys are – they've earned what they've got. And, you know, then Georgia's going to have to pay Damon Wilson, and they're going to have to pay Monroe Freeland. They're going to have to pay C.J. Allen and all those guys and then the roster. And that kind of answer there, too. Georgia, I will tell you without hesitation, made a real offer to Justice Terry. They made a real offer to Justice Terry, and he went to Texas. So, you know, it is what it is. You got to have a limit at some point, but Georgia didn't go. They didn't go cheap. They did not go cheap on Justice Terry. I can assure you that they just did not get him. And there comes a point where there's a limit, and I understand that 100%. Cannot have your culture in that locker room. Just sure. Can't do it, man. Look at Texas A&M a couple years ago.
Right. Oh, sure.
That freshman class was making more than everybody.
We've yet to see it work. I mean, that's the thing. That's what everybody has to keep in mind. Ole Miss sitting on the outside looking in this year, man. I mean, like they spent heavily in the portal last year. Hunter Lacy says, I don't want us paying a freshman more than guys who've been there. That's a terrible idea. It's like someone brought up one of those guys. It may have been you. You were saying there was a number that you'd heard thrown around that a backup came looking for. And at this, if mm-hmm. listen, I'll tell you this, and this to me makes all the sense in the world. If I've been out there and I've been doing it for you while mm-hmm. the band's playing,
yeah,
and you better be cutting my cheese a little thicker than you're cutting the freshman's cheese.
The opening act.
That's right, absolutely, man. Yeah. There ain't no.
But let me say, but I will say this. Listen, they are. Don't get it twisted. They didn't sign that class just now.
No question.
They really went in on this class. They did not finish.
Do you think they extorted Talon Taylor to get him to come to Athens? They didn't. This is not.
Yeah. They're spending. It's just there comes a limit. There comes a limit.
He says, gentlemen, what's up? Brian Bivens says these teams get these players, but at the end of the day, they've got to be coachable. Just look at OSU this past year with the highest paid roster. That's a huge part of it too, guys. Look, there's the evaluation piece of this. And I'll tell you this, Rusty. I think that Georgia probably is taking these transfer evaluations as seriously as they ever possibly could even think to do it, given some of the issues they have ran into with the transfer portal. Now, look, I'm not saying they did. There was a lack of due diligence the first time. Okay. Mm-hmm. But the PR that comes along with this, you know, is what it is. And, oh, Georgia's going out and recruiting the, you know, when you get a situation like a Ra-Ra Thomas or Colby Young, for whatever you feel about it now, currently, at the time it happened, the narrative was, oh, another Georgia transfer, right?
You've got to
do that, guys. I think that it's imperative, and they know that as well as anybody. Hey, speaking of imperative, look, you're trying to get to the Sugar Bowl. You're trying to go see the Dogs play in the playoff. I understand. Go to NOLA. Have yourself a big time. New Year's, God bless you if you're going to New Year's Eve in NOLA. Rusty Manziel got the fist pump going, man. Pat O'Brien's is not ready. Batting down the hatches. We got the Hurricanes coming, brother. Guys, look, if you're trying to get in, you need to get over and check out our friends at GameTime.co. That's the place to get your tickets. And I got to tell you, these seem pretty reasonable to me. I don't know. This is pretty good. 214, get in. That's not too bad for the Sugar Bowl. You got a pretty good seat here in 304, 355, 604, 223. So you can get in for a reasonable-ish price if you're trying to get in and watch the Georgia Bulldogs in this Sugar Bowl. What I can tell you about Game Time is it's super easy to use. It's super intuitive. It makes it so that you can see everything up front. You know what your fees are going to be. It's all in pricing. And like I said, I always love you can see that view from your seat. And to me, that's just so compelling. That's such a great feature of Game Time. They make it easy. Your tickets get to you super quick. It is one of those situations where if you're looking for a way to get in and you're looking for a good deal, go check out Game Time, man. They are going to hook you up. They're going to get you set for the game. They're going to get you in the door, having a great experience. That I can assure you. If you want to get in and use our code, that's ON3, on three, that gets you $20 off your first order. Terms and conditions do apply over at gametime.co. But check it out if you're looking for tickets, you haven't gotten your tickets yet, you're trying to find something to do for New Year's. Listen, I promise you, New Orleans on New Year's is not something that you're going to regret if you do remember it. You will not. You probably won't regret it because you won't remember you were there. But it will be something to behold. And look, it's going to be an atmosphere. That's for sure. If it's Notre Dame, if it's Indiana, it doesn't matter. Either one of those teams is going to travel. They're going to bring their people. People are going to be excited. It's going to be a good time. GameTime.co got you hooked up. Get over there. Use our code ON3 for $20 off your first purchase. Terms and conditions apply, like I said, but go check it out. What time is it? It's game time. All right, guys. Rusty, we got some upcoming visits. I know that some of these transfer guys, we won't give it all away. You got to get over to Dogs HQ and check some of that stuff out. But a lot of people over here, John Gibson, one of these guys talking about Dane Key. And that's a name that I know a lot of people are interested in. We're expecting him in town, I think, early part of this week, right? He'll be in Athens sometime this week. Ole Miss is being mentioned there as well. So that's an interesting one as well. But, what are some of these upcoming visits, if you were going to point to two or three, Rusty, that maybe you're watching or that have maybe already taken place?
It's hard to tell what they're doing. What's different? Here's what I'm being told is different. All right. So if you are a senior in high school, whatever, you go on your official visit to Georgia, you show up on Friday night, and you get your pictures, you go to the stadium, and they dress you out in the black uniform that you're never going to get to wear, the black jersey. And you take all your pictures in the black jersey. You take your pictures in the three white helmets that they have. By the way, they don't have white helmets. They use those for props. So they got the white helmet. You get to do all that on Friday night. You go to Sanford Stadium. You go to dinner. And you get to hang out. Saturday morning, you go to Kirby Smart's house. You have breakfast. You go through academics. Saturday night they have a big dinner for all the parents, and they do the karaoke and a player. You go out with players, and Sunday morning you have a one-on-one with Kirby Smart, you and your family, and you're out of there. So you got about 48 hours on a high school official visit. That's, they do those in June too. That's the same way you do those. These visits,
hodgepodge.
It's get down to business. Now come there. You're watching, if you can. Georgia was really wanting the guys to watch practice. They come watch practice. They meet with academic advisor. Where are you at academically? Can we get you in? You go straight into an NIL meeting. You go straight into the facility. You meet with the position coach. You may or may not even need to meet a player. Think about this, Jake. How awkward is this? What if I'm a wide receiver? And usually you have a player host. You know what I mean? If you're a high school kid, and that player host is like, hey, we're wanting you to come there. If I'm a junior at Georgia, or if I'm a junior, if I'm a junior at Ohio State, I'm not hosting that guy. Why would I host that guy? That guy might get some of my touches. So how awkward is that? Nobody thinks about that side. You think a player wants to host a transfer guy at the same position? Hey, man, we're good. This is a terrible play. You know what I mean? So I don't know how that's going to go down, but I thought about it today. Like, you're going to invite a guy in to take your job. So,
I love that.
But these things are a lot quicker. They're a lot quicker. It's down to business, and
there's
36
no time
hours.
To waste.
There's no time to waste because these kids are taking visits. Here's the different thing too. And I mentioned this on Dogs HQ, that talking to some guys and then talking to people that have direct conversations with agents. The agents want the kids to take multiple visits because why do you not want to take multiple visits? The price goes up. So some of these kids kind of know where they're going, but they're going to take a visit just in case to see it. And I'm sure the agents are, encouraging that. And I know everybody's going to shake their head and it makes you squirm talking about agents, but that's not changing. That's not changing, so just get used to that term. And I have said this, in the, in covering the class coming up. The class of 2026, the higher profile kids, we're already starting to have conversations with our agents. So, Caleb Parmalee, I believe he says agents really take. I have no idea if these guys are taking. I hear all the wild stuff. You know what I mean? If they're taking 20%, these dudes ought to go to freaking prison. I mean, because in NFL, it's like 6%. That there's a contract structure.
6% if you're a good one.
Yeah, if you're a good one. You know, I'm thinking, you know, these guys are, you know, you hear the term agent. I heard today from a couple of coaches like, Rusty, these guys aren't agents. These guys aren't legally agents that are some of them aren't, you know. So I hope the NCAA takes the NFL model to where you have to be an approved agent. Like Lamar Jackson's mom, she had to go through the process to get approved. Once she got approved, she's representing her kid. Kudos to her. You know what I mean? So this stuff is this stuff's a mess, man. And I got a lot of conversation last night. Somebody walked up to me last night. I was out at a place in Atlanta. I saw several Dogs HQ subscribers. So those guy bought me a drink, called me the wrong name, called me somebody from Dog Nation. I won't call him out. Then I said, hey, man, I look a little better than that dude. I'm Rusty. He goes, hold on. Oh, that's what I mean. He bought me a drink. So we were good. But they were talking about the story that I posted on Dogs HQ about the G5 player. That basically they told him you can't start here anymore. And then that's a pretty wild story. But, you know, listen, we can sit here and dwell on this, Jake, and talk about all the things that are wrong. Yeah. But this, you know, we're not changing it. And you got to kind of have some structure in this chaos. And I think Georgia fans need to really think, not just because of the wins and not because of the national championships. Those are great things, and you're going to always have that. But what Kirby Smart does day to day to try to basically put out fires and to keep this team together and keep kind of the best culture you can have, that's where the value of Kirby Smart is not appreciative enough. I'm telling you, this dude, it's World War III every day when he wakes up. There's never a phone call that says, hey, man, Jake Roos is absolutely killing it in class. Yeah. I mean, Jake Roos, it's never one of those calls. You know what I mean? It's every day, one after one. So that's one of the things you have to appreciate, and how they're handling this as a group, as an organization, because they're having to learn too. You know, I think the agents part of it has been the biggest difference of anything this particular time. And I think the 2026 high school class is going to be the first one to where the agents are going to be heavily, heavily involved in some decisions. Cause I know some big time prospects that are, these guys have agents, marketing teams, everything.
I was going to say, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Jackson Cantwell is with Drew Rosenhaus already.
Probably is, and I get that.
He's one of those guys that not only does he have an agent, he's got a for real agent. Like this is
That was A-Rod's agent. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Now there are guys that have real agents. I get it. Some of the bigger guys I know, they have real agents. Where I think that these quote unquote agents are these guys in the portal going, hey, if you get in, I've already talked to this school over here, they're going to pay you X amount. I want 15% of that, and I'm going to get you in. And, you know, so, you know, there's a high profile player at Georgia right now that does not have an agent. And I was absolutely blown away. And I wish I could say, but I'm not getting that person's business, but he's like, you know, Georgia's treating me fair. And, when I need an agent, I'll get one. So, those are rare, but there is one player in Georgia right now. And my kid would probably have an agent if he was a high profile player. I'll just say that. But there are guys that are like, hey, dude, I'm good. It's an honor to play here, and we're gonna get this thing right.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's how it goes. I'm curious though, are there any of these names, like I said, there's a couple upcoming trips this week. Anybody that's kind of on your radar?
I think the Dane Key. I think the Dane Key is the one, just because Georgia needs an X, man. They need a big body guy. And I talked to some people outside of Georgia because I try to get as much as I can. This guy's got a pretty damn good eval from everybody. And I think just from what I understand, and I, I, this is, just speak here. This guy's wired to, like, he wants to be at a big, he wants to play in big time games. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, can this guy get a lot of money? Yes, he can get a lot of money. And I guarantee you there's some places flat out throwing it at him. But I think he wants to make sure that, you know, he's fairly compensated, but playing in a prime time 8 o'clock game, playing in Mercedes Benz. You heard Kirby Smart say this, and I don't let this slide by. The week of the SEC championship game, Trevor Etienne stood up and said, "Guys, I know y'all been in this game, but I have it, and I'm playing. I got freaking cracked ribs, and I'm playing. Like, this is why I came here." And if Key is wired like that, yeah, and, you know, he wants to do that, like sign me up there, you know. And I'm not saying anything bad about anybody else because I just know more information about him in particular. Not saying that some of those other guys don't are not, but I'm confident in that information to what I have about him. Everything that I've heard George's ask about him, some of the contacts they've had, and some of the things that this guy, to me, if they were to get him, checks a lot of the boxes of what I think they need and need that big X, they need that big body X receiver. And he would be a good one if they can get him.
Bobby Sagas, real quick, anything on Deuce Robinson? You heard anything on
that? I don't think they're in that. And I was very interested pretty soon, but I think Deuce Robinson only wants to play wide receiver.
Yep.
And, you know, Georgia saw him as a tight end H type guy. I don't think Deuce ever wants to really attach to the line of scrimmage. And you think about the body type, what he does, they're about to bring that guy in. Matter of fact, I think he'll be there Thursday, Elias Williams. Yeah. You know, he's a 6'7". He's athletic. The thing you love about Elias Williams, it doesn't get enough credit for, he played 2-3 years in a wing T. So he knows how to freaking block. He knows how to attach, but he also is a guy. So if you look at Deuce Robinson, I don't think you make a play there because you got the same guy coming in, and he's a freshman, and he's an in-state kid, and you're high on him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of being high on somebody, our friends over at MyPerfectFranchise.net is definitely a group you can be high on. Are you a displaced corporate executive or wanting to put your career in your own hands? Or are you an experienced entrepreneur wanting to diversify? Well, Andy Ludicky and MyPerfectFranchise.net can help. Andy is a huge college sports fan and franchise veteran, having owned multiple franchises and businesses. And using his expertise, he helps others find their American dream through a very thorough consultation and evaluation process. So call Andy, put your life and career in your own hands. Best of all, his services, 100% free to you. So what do you have to lose? Find your perfect franchise at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Rusty, I did want to touch on one more thing tonight, and that is
dude.
Come on, man. Listen.
I mean, man.
If you are tuning in.
We all deserve that one.
There's no doubt. There is no doubt. I want to talk about this one because if you are tuning in to the show and you don't know what we are talking about, Seven Cloud, one of the standout junior college players in America for the 2026 class, committed to Georgia on Saturday. And that doesn't sound all that exciting when I phrase it like that, especially when it's, I say 2026 and he won't be here for a year and whatever, take your pick. But if you go back and you remember the Seven Cloud story, this is the stuff of recruiting legend. This is myth. This is mythological.
Be a movie. People thought
this guy did not exist. Like, legitimately, there were.
I was the only one, I think, that really ever saw him in person.
I never did. I didn't know anybody who had. I didn't know anybody who knew anything about him. We didn't know where he went. This guy committed to Georgia in January of 2021 as a defensive lineman out of McEachern High School. And at that time, if I'm remembering this correctly, Rusty, and you correct me if I'm wrong, at that time, I don't even think Georgia was prepared for him to commit. I think he just announced that he was committing, if I'm remembering that correctly.
So I tell you what, he played Cedar Grove. It was that really good Cedar Grove team with my goodness,
Jelani Woods and
all that, the wide receiver, all those guys, Christian Miller, all those guys were young.
Hazelwood maybe even was on that team.
Jaden Hazelwood, all those guys. So he dominated that game. And I was one of the last games before I started doing the weekly TV. I was actually filming that game. God, I was filming in the press box. The only reason I filmed that night, because I was trying to get the Cedar Grove kids.
Right.
And we're trying to get some cut-ups for those guys. And this guy just kept making play after play. And they told me before the game, Franklin Stevens, who is coaching Burke County this week in state championship, congratulations. He goes, Rusty, this kid here, he goes, man, he is as talented as I've ever been around. He goes, now he's a knucklehead, but he's as talented as I've ever been around. So he starts dominating the game. And I'm like, holy smokes, who is this guy? And I'll never forget. I'm sitting beside, I can't remember her last name, but she's still the principal there. Unbelievable lady. I call her Miss Regina at McEachern. And I'm filming, and he makes a couple plays. And I go, who is that? She goes, Rusty. He got to handle the classroom, and he's got to handle life before you put that light on him. And that's the only principal that's ever asked me in a nice way not to do anything. Right. So I just put some clips out. And I said, listen, I'm going to put a few clips out on him and we'll let him mature and see where he goes. And I put some stuff out on him. And, man, it wasn't long. I mean, he started getting all the offers. And next thing you know, Georgia, you know, he committed to Georgia. I don't even know if Georgia knew he was committing, like you said, but he committed. And then
the way I remember hearing it was that he committed and they probably weren't ready for it, but they said, look, he's so far out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We'll go ahead and take it. That's fine. Yeah. You know, we'll see how it pans out. And maybe he pans out, maybe he doesn't.
Well, so I go back down in the maybe January or February doing some high school tour stuff, seeing some kids. And I go down, and they're like, Rusty, he's at school maybe 2 days a week. And we, you know, sometimes we can't find him. And I said, oh, that's a sad deal, man. And it got to the point where he disappeared from social media. He disappeared from that school. Nobody really knew where he was at. I mean, but people knew they would see him around, but really didn't know what he was doing structure wise.
Right.
I think he turned up at Pebblebrook. He was ineligible, couldn't do anything, couldn't play anywhere. And some people kind of took him under his wing, under their wing a little bit and kept him out of really bad trouble, but they couldn't get him like academically back catch up. And he just never could play football. And then all of a sudden, we all kind of get a text one day like, y'all not going to believe this. This kid's dominating in JUCO. And then come to find out, you know, I check around. This guy's got his life together. He is freaking balling. You know, he's on track.
You look at pictures of him, man. He's bright. Yeah. He's smiling.
Yeah,
he looks
great. Man.
He looks like he's just loving life, man. And
go
turn the tape on. He is freaking tearing people up. And dude. Now, Butler, listen, you think JUCO, if you don't know anything about JUCO, that's one of the best JUCO programs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And what's, you know, what's crazy is he was so far behind academically. He has to do, he cannot speed up anything. He has to finish his stuff. He has to get his associate, which is fine, but. Like, if this dude was at Georgia tomorrow, they're instantly better. Like, they're instantly better. And going into 2025, they're ready to roll. So, this is a kid that literally his lifelong dream has been to go to Georgia. He comes in yesterday. I mean, there are going to be other schools recruit him. But this guy, that's a big deal, man. And, you know, just really root. You know, if this kid would end up at Tennessee, if this kid would end up in South Carolina, I don't give a damn. Like, go get it, kid. I know you've been through a lot, and just the fact that he is where he is, and it's an awesome story. We were all yesterday. I text y'all. I said, boys, Seven Cloud is on commit watch, and y'all are like, what? I was like, just be alert now. Once I talked to him yesterday, I actually asked him yesterday. I said, hey, are you home for Christmas? He goes, yeah. I said, well, I'd love to see you catch up. Let me find out what's going on with you. Let's get some new pictures. And he said, man, I'm on my way to Georgia. And I went, holy smokes. And that's when I kind of realized that he was going down there and met with Kirby and committed. So good for him. And he'll be at Georgia this time next year. He'll be enrolling in December. So
we got about 6'3", 280-ish?
I think he was 6'3", 280, yeah. I think yesterday was great size. He's athletic. He's nat, dude.
They had him running back over there. Dude,
he will be the number one JUCO prospect in America. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this dude's nasty now, I'm telling you. So be happy about that one, man.
Yeah. If you listen, the Stetson Bennett story, incredible. Dan Jackson, unbelievable. This kid right here, man, you almost never, I guarantee you, if you and I sat down, we could probably come up with dozens of kids who kind of ended up, oh, he messed this up. Man, he was a hell of a player, but he didn't da-da-da-da-da. You never, almost never see it play out this way.
And not the other side, not the other way. Nope.
And I am so happy to see it for
a lot of structure, a lot of structure. And you know, think that helps kids. And, you know, somebody says, hopefully we can hold on to him. I mean, listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, dude. This guy is going to be freaking heavily recruited now.
Yeah.
But the thing you kind of like got the ones that Georgia has held on to that they've been in some major, major battles, that G meant a little more. You know what I mean? So, you know, they're gonna have to get in the paycheck, but that G meant a little more. And this kid's a Georgia kid.
I love the people on this beat, so I'm gonna shout out. Jeff Sintel wrote a piece with him, and he said the kid said, you know, what's interesting is I never decommitted from Georgia. He said, I never formally came out with anything. I guess I was committed to Georgia the whole time. But he publicly
Even better, man. That's even better.
Unbelievable.
He got two edits out of it. He got two edits. You know what I mean?
That's right. Yeah. That's rare. You don't always get the two edits. Caleb Parmalee asked what class he's going to be. He's going to be a 26 guy.
So I think everybody in the country was trying to see if he could be a 25. If he doubled down on classes, you know, how many could he take? It just wasn't going to work out for him. And I think he's like three classes short of that. So, but look, man, you keep it going, stay on track and get to Athens, man. Cause those D linemen like that are freaking hard to find. So I think he would have two years.
I think he's two.
He would have three. Is it 2-2?
I think he's a 2-for-2. If I'm not mistaken, he could be a 3-for-2. But my guess is, based on everything we've seen on film of him, he's probably going to be a 2-for-2.
He's ready to play. No doubt.
I think he'll come out strong with it. But super, super cool story. If you follow recruiting, that's a guy easy to root for. And, you know, Craig Lawson says, y'all are jinxing the hell out of this comeback story. I hope not.
Not jinxing that. That dude's writing his own book. I'm telling you what he's been through. He's writing his own book, man. So we're fans of him. Justice Haynes, y'all have questions. I haven't heard a ton about Georgia. I mean, this time last year, it was hot and heavy. I mean, it was hot and heavy. And, you know, after the SEC championship game, I don't think he even played. And, you know, lo and behold, Christmas miracle, Alabama started him in that bowl game. And, and shocker, he didn't leave right after that. But, you know, I thought he was going to leave. I really did. I thought he was going to go to Georgia. And I think a lot of people that I trust thought it was going to. And listen, he is a guy that's obviously a lot of Georgia eyes. This is a Georgia, you know, he's got Georgia blood.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that some of what happens with Justice Haynes perhaps could hinge on if Georgia kind of gets an indication on what Trevor Etienne's plans are moving forward?
I think that would be a big piece, but I think George would also know that by now. From what I know, Kirby has met with everybody that's kind of on the fence. So he knows, Kirby would know which way these guys are leaning. And these guys are already kind of know where they are. So, you know, I would never say never with that one. It's just too much connection there. But I've heard more out of Michigan and Ohio State just early on than Georgia. Haven't confirmed anything there. And you know, Georgia doesn't have unlimited spots, man. I mean, they got other positions. If you give Georgia Trevor Etienne and Nate Frazier back with Branson Robinson, and then I just don't know. And Roderick Robinson,
doesn't feel pronounced. I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah, I don't. Just some big boy decisions there. So you never say never. I'll just say early on, I haven't heard much at all with him in Georgia in the first 48 hours. But boy, that sure did stir up some Alabama fans. I had a couple of my buddies they call me just straight cussing. Like, you know, how do we lose this guy? How much are y'all paying him? You know what I mean? And so I haven't heard a ton yet with Georgia and him. Last year, this very time, I'm telling you, we had multiple stories in our drafts ready to roll had he went in, because that was very close.
Absolutely. Guys, look, We will be back with you this week. I'm sure we got some Dogs HQ Plus coming your way. We'll be back with another edition of the Georgia Show at some point this week as well. So stay tuned here to the Dogs HQ YouTube channel and get over to Dogs HQ as well if you're not already a member over there. We got full coverage of all this transfer portal stuff. We got all your lead up to the Sugar Bowl. We're diving in heavy if you're trying to figure out who you should be watching now for the 26 class. Jeremy Johnson and I have been doing a ton of stuff on the next guy up. So getting familiar with these next dudes. Look, this stuff never stops, guys, and we've got you covered on all of it over at Dogs HQ. For Rusty Mansell, I'm Jake Roos. This has been the Georgia Show. We'll see you again soon.